You can open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis 29 is where we're going to start in just a few moments. Wonderful to see everyone out today. I hope you were able to watch the 11 o'clock service. And for those who were at the 11 o'clock service or who are live streaming today, thank you so much for your presence here with us, for our brothers and sisters. The last several lessons that have been preached, that I've preached here, have been very heavy. They've been lessons that have dealt with the Holy Spirit, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the unforgivable sin. We've talked about the issue of rebellion with the life of Saul. And we talked about present rebellions, and it has been very heavy. And so we're going to step back from that heaviness and look at something that in some ways is lighter, but it's still very, very relevant to us and very, very necessary. Before that, I want to remind you, as Wyatt said just a moment ago, about the series over the next several nights. I think we've got the technical side of this ready. If we have a few glitches, please bear with us. But I think this is going to be a very good series. I hope you're making plans to watch it live Monday through Friday night, 7:30. If you can't watch it live, to go back later on YouTube or Facebook and watch it. I've spoken to Brent several times, and he is very excited about the series, and I'm now excited about the series because of his excitement, and I think that you'll benefit from it. As the elders have said so far, tell other people about it. Spread the word of God on social media and let other people know about it as well. But let's be planning on this. Let's make this a priority in our life over the next week. I hope you're looking forward to that. Rope has been around since the dawn of mankind. People build things out of rope. Even today, people make fences out of rope and other structures out of rope. People use rope to lift things up. They use rope to climb up to get to different places. In the military today, that's a big part of the training that takes place, rope climbing. Rope has always been around. It's very useful. It's very strong. And the reason why rope is strong is because it's not one central piece. It is several cords that are bound around each other. In fact, if you look closely at this, you can see all the individual strands. And even as you look at those strands, you can see within each of those strands, other strands. And what they do is they provide strength, a cohesiveness that gives that rope something that is useful and something that is strong. And when one of those cords begin to fray or break, that puts a strain on all the other cords. And so eventually sometimes ropes break. Though they are so strong and though they are so useful, their strength and usefulness comes from the strength of all of those different cords. Now, my goal is not to talk about rope this morning. I want to talk about marriage. I want to talk about the cords of marriage because in a lot of ways, marriage is like that idea of a rope. It's a strong thing, but it's made up of a lot of different cords. It's not one central thing. In fact, when people are married and their marriage is based upon one simple thing like looks or sex, eventually over time, that will break. So what God has given us and what we're going to look at today are examples, biblical examples of couples that show us what some of these cords are. I want to challenge those of us who are married this morning to really think about whether these cords are found in our lives. All right, I'm going to give you three this morning, and then next week at the 9 o'clock hour, I'm going to go through three more. So we're going to look at six overall. The first one is the cord of value. Valuing your mate and making sure that you are valuable. Now, our text is Genesis chapter 29. You may remember the story of Jacob, who is looking for a wife, and he comes across the young woman, Rachel. He travels far away from home. And he meets her, and I want you to notice verses 9 through 11, and then we'll look at verse 20. While he was still speaking with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she was a shepherdess. Now, as soon as Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, Jacob came near and rolled the stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Then Jacob kissed Rachel and wept aloud. And Jacob told Rachel that he was his father's kinsman and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. Now, verse 20. Once he makes it known that he wants to marry her, in verse 20, we are told, because of the deal that he struck with Laban, he would work 7 years for her. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. And they seemed to him but a few days because of the love that he had for her. He valued her. When he saw her, presumably, it seems obvious she was beautiful. Now, I want to make it clear as we talk about this first one, valuing, this is like a foundational valuing. This isn't going to be necessarily a deep valuing. Sometimes that valuing begins with looks. Sometimes it's they are attractive to you. You see them and they're beautiful. They have a lot of hair or, you know, whatever it is that attracts people today. Maybe they're funny. Okay. But that's sort of a place where it all begins. And I would suggest to you that any relationship in our life that we have with people outside of family relationship, which is sort of put on us, any volunteer relationship begins with a sense of valuing that person. You value them because of their knowledge, their hobbies that you share in common. So here, Jacob so valued her that he was willing to work for 7 years. And if you remember the story, he went and got married and woke up the next day and found out he married the other sister, Leah, and her father made him work another 7 years. So he worked 14 years for this woman. Why? Because he valued her. This is one of the early chords of any marriage. We have to value that person. Because the reality is there are a lot of forces that work against us, and over time, that value can be lost. Especially if it's based solely upon looks, solely upon the fact that they're funny. Personalities change over time. Looks change over time. And we start losing that value. So what I'm suggesting is at the very beginning, if we want to work on our marriages, we've got to make sure that we value our spouse. So I ask you this question. If you lost your mate, what would you lose? I want you to think about that for a moment. What would you lose? Would you lose someone who provides for you financially? Would you lose someone who is a companion to you? Would you lose someone who cleans around the house and takes care of things? Would you lose someone who helps you take care of your children? What is it that you would lose? We need to start going through that, because once we identify there is some way where my life will not be quite what it was, that's where we start valuing them. And I would add to that, we need to be asking ourselves, am I valuable to my spouse? Am I doing things to help them? Am I taking out the trash? Am I cutting the grass? Am I working hard? Am I valuable to my spouse? That's the first chord. The second chord is respect. Second chord is I want to respect my spouse and I want to be respectable by my spouse or to my spouse, of my spouse. You can work that on your own. I want to make sure that I behave myself in such a way that my spouse respects me. And now I want to ask you to open your Bibles to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. We just got through studying the book of Ruth a couple of weeks ago. We talked about this briefly. I want to go back to this. In Ruth chapter 2, Ruth, the Moabite young woman who comes back with her mother-in-law Naomi, who is Jewish from the land of Israel. They are poor. She has to glean in the fields. This was something that poor people did in order to gain food. And that's where she's at. She goes to a field. It is owned by a man named Boaz. I want you to notice, first of all, verse 5. Verse 4, Boaz comes to the field, everyone, he says to them, the Lord be with you. They said, the Lord bless you. Verse 5, then Boaz said to his young man who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? Okay, he saw her, but that wasn't the most remarkable thing. Maybe she was pretty. Maybe it was close enough that she caught his eye. But I want you to notice verse 11. Verse 11 is in so many ways the key. When she says, why are you noticing me? Why are you being so kind? But Boaz answered her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband has been fully told to me, and how you left your father and your mother and your native land and came to a people who you did not know before. Now, you know what Boaz is doing there? Boaz is expressing respect for her now. He noticed her, he saw her, but now he's respecting her. Respect is when you lift someone up. It's value on steroids. It's when you see a value, but you start lifting that up. It's the difference between having a Toyota Camry, which is a good car, a respectable car, great gas mileage, very dependable, and a Jaguar F-Type. Now, this is a muscle car. This is a car that you respect. You baby it. You get this car out, as if I've ever had one, you get this car out and you wax it and you put a tarp over it, you put it in the garage. That's respect. It's past valuing. Now you're really lifting this person up. It's seen in the words of the husband and the actions of the children in Proverbs 31. This worthy woman, her children rise up and they call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. You hear that respect? And you hear how he and the children are expressing that respect. So in your marriage, what strengths do you see in your spouse that make them not only valuable to you, but admirable to you? Here we're looking at issues of character. Not superficial stuff like looks. That's great. That's fine. But character. Do you see in your spouse that they're a godly person? A kind person? They are a spiritual leader of the home or a spiritual follower in the home? Do you see in your spouse someone who loves the Lord, who cares about God? That's when we start respecting one another. And by the way, we also need to make sure that we are acting in a respectable way. I will tell you that probably the times in my marriage that we've hit the bumps were probably because I didn't value Teresa the way that I should have. And I wasn't expressing myself in a way that was as valuable to the marriage. And I didn't respect her the way I should have. And I didn't act as respectably as I should have. Those are key elements in whether a marriage is helpful or not and strong. So I would encourage you to think about your relationship, your spouse, and yourself. What can I do to be more like Ruth and more like Boaz and have a stronger marriage? One more, and we close our time together with one another. See, I can preach 15-minute sermons. You've been wondering that for a while. Notice your spouse. We talked about this Wednesday night, 1 Samuel chapter 1. This is a beautiful story here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. The story of Elkanah and Hannah. You remember the story? If you were listening the other night, you remember that. If not, Hannah is the young woman. She's barren. She will eventually be the mother of Samuel. Elkanah is her husband. There are two women in this marriage, Peninnah and Hannah. And Peninnah is able to have children, and she's making it difficult for Hannah. But Elkanah loves Hannah. He cares about her. At feast, he gives her a double portion. And he sees that she's upset. And he comes to her and expresses a sense of concern. Verse 14. In verse 11. Verse 8. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? And we talked about Wednesday night. For a woman who is hurting, that wasn't the best thing for him to say. But one of the members here, I won't say who it was, said Wednesday night after our service, after our Bible study, that while men sometimes say stupid things, I hope at least we get the points for trying. Okay? He was trying. What I want you to see was he noticed her. When Peninnah was saying what she said and they sat down and Hannah wasn't eating as much, you got to think that Elkanah saw that. And his heart hurt because he saw her and he wanted to help her. It is so easy in our life today to get so sidetracked, right, and not notice one another. Life is so busy. It's busy for husbands, for wives, whether the wife is working outside of the home or in the home. Just maintain the home is tough. And the husband's busy and she's busy. You throw in maybe she's working outside of the home. Everybody's busy. They got to get kids here or there. This is going on in the congregation. And sometimes it's the relationships that we're the closest to that begin to suffer because we take those for granted. And the third chord that I would encourage you to think about, that I need to think about, is we need to slow down within our life and notice our spouse. I think that's the heart of Ephesians chapter 5. Wives are to submit to their husbands. I think it's implied there. But certainly when you start looking at the instructions of husbands to the wives, he is to love her. He is to cherish her. He notices her. He thinks about her. He values her and respects her and sees her. And she shows that she's noticing him by submitting. So that means that we've got to invest in things within our marriages that help us to notice one another. Watch one another. Listen to one another. Guys, boy, that's always a struggle for us, is actually actively listening to our spouse. Seeing things when they're upset and stepping into their lives to help them. Last night, something was on my mind. It wasn't the Mississippi State-Kentucky score. That left very quickly. But there was something else that was bothering me, and Teresa noticed that. And so she came alongside of me and just put her arm on my shoulder and just let me know that she could tell that I was bothered by something. And that's what I'm saying here. I think that we learn from Elkanah. Just notice. Show compassion. Spend time with one another. It's real hard when you have children to spend time with one another. And I mean alone, quality time with one another. And if you're in that situation, you have no family members here who can take the kids, then let me and Teresa know. We were blessed so much because we don't have family here. We were blessed so much in the active years of raising our children with people here who were quick to watch our kids. And some that would call us from time to time and say, you guys need to go out sometime? Let me know. So helpful. And if you don't have family here that can help in that way, then let us know, because that helped us maintain our focus apart from God on one another in our marriage. Take advantage of your brother. And I mean that genuinely. Teresa and I have talked about this before, so I'm not surprising her. I didn't tell her I'd be bringing up this time. But we've talked about it before. Genuinely, reach out. Reach out to someone else so that you can spend time. And at the risk of moving into a rating a little higher than PG, spend time in your sexual relationship with one another. That is the heart of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. The sexual relationship, Paul tells us, is not a selfish relationship, or at least it should not be. Rather, he says, in verse 3, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights, and likewise the wife to her husband. And that's two people taking notice of one another and spending time with one another. So, for your consideration this morning, three chords of marriage that will help our marriages grow stronger. We are to make sure we value our spouse and we are acting in a valuable way. We respect and we are acting in a respectable way. And we notice our spouse and pay attention to them. If you check your email out this afternoon when you get home or at lunch, you will see that there's a worksheet that I sent out. And this is just something you can sit down with and maybe share with your spouse later on, of things that you can actively do to start valuing and be valuable, start respecting and be respectable, and things that you can do actively to notice one another. I hope that helps you. Hope this lesson helps. I need lessons like this. For those of you who are married, I hope this is something, as we look to the Word of God, that we glean truth. And if we see areas where we're failing, beloved, there's a rope that's fraying there. And if we don't address it and it breaks, it's going to put a strain on everything else, and eventually the rope as a whole breaks. That's not what we want. The elders don't want that for you. You don't want that for yourself. Let's work on these cords. If there's anyone here who's not a Christian, I'm going to encourage you to come to the Lord today. Maybe that's putting a strain on your marriage. Maybe you're not the Christian you need to be. You're not even a Christian. You can become one today. If you're not the Christian you need to be, you can make your life right today. Whatever the situation may be, you are here among people who care about you. If we can pray with you, help you, let us know. Come forward now while we stand and while we sing.